confusing. You can get lost tonight because the seats aren't quite in the place that we're used to them being. Have no fear, little flock. Have no fear, little flock. For the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. God said to Abraham, don't be afraid. I am your shield. Your reward is very great. In last week's text, Jesus said to a nameless man in the crowd, beware of all covetousness. Watch out for greed, it's going to kill you. For a person's life does not consist. You can't measure a life by how much stuff a person has. And this week, talking to his disciples, that inner circle of followers, Jesus says, you don't need to worry. You don't need to be anxious. You don't need to be afraid. All you need to do is just look. Just open your eyes and see. If your heavenly Father is taking care of the ravens, if your heavenly Father is taking care of the lilies, don't you think, you see, your Father's going to take care of you too. He's got you covered. That's what Jesus is saying. Last week and this week. So what does it mean to have a little faith? God wants you to have a little faith in Him. So God gives you the gift of faith so that you can put your trust in Him and live by faith alone. Some people say, seeing is believing. I'm from Missouri, the show me state, huh? But the Bible says that believing is seeing. Believing is seeing with the eyes of faith. The work of God. Your great reward, Jesus. And with Christ comes all the clothes that you need. So life is more than clothing. And with Jesus comes all the food and drink that you need. For life is more than what am I going to eat today? What am I going to drink tomorrow? What about the menu when company comes, huh? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. And don't you think that if the Creator takes care of creation, don't you think He's going to take care of you too, who have been formed and fashioned into the likeness of your heavenly Father? Don't you think? Have a little faith. God wants you to have a little faith, so He gives you the gift of faith so that you can live by faith. Now faith is. You heard that, right? In our epistle reading for tonight, Hebrews chapter 11, called the Faith Chapter or the Faith Hall of Fame, 40 verses long. And 24 times, by faith, 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 by 24 times, trust me. 18 heroes and heroines are listed in that Faith Hall of Fame. And if someone says, well, tell me what faith is, you say Hebrews 11:1. Faith is. Faith is. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The confidence or conviction of things not seen. Believing is seeing. We live by faith, not by sight. That's Hebrews. When I was in a congregation out in Tacoma, we had a young girl named Kaylin Keim. And Kaylin's in college now. But when she was in confirmation as an eighth grader, she memorized Hebrews chapter 11, all 40 verses. She did it in honor of her grandfather, who had passed away, who was a Lutheran pastor. And on the Sunday when this lesson came up, she came forward and I said, Kaylin, will you read the lesson for us? And she didn't have to open the Bible because the Bible was right in her heart, right in her head. And she recited all 40 verses. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. By faith, Abel had a worshiping faith. By faith, Enoch pleased God. He had a walking with God faith. By faith, Noah, he was a contractor, you know what I mean? He was a construction worker, and so he had a working faith. By faith, Abraham and Sarah had a waiting faith. And I'm not talking about for those who are expecting, a 9-month gestation waiting. You remember Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65 when God said, leave it all behind, give it all up. I'm going to take you to a new land, a promised land. And I'm going to give you so much land, and I'm going to give you so many children, you're not going to be able to number them. Well, years have passed. And Abraham and Sarah, they went in obedience. They were walking, living, waiting by faith. But in Genesis 15, all of a sudden we find out that years have passed and the promise still hasn't arrived. What are you going to do? Well, you know what Abraham did. He went to plan B. Later, Sarah will go to plan C. She'll involve Hagar. But plan B was, if God's not going to give me what he promised, then I'll go to adoption. And so he adopts a slave from Damascus by the name of Eleazar. And God comes to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, don't be afraid. I am your shield. I mean, that's protection, right? I mean, that's real protection. That's the kind of protection that ISIS ain't even going to have a chance with. The Lord says, I am your shield. And then he says, your reward will be very great. And did you hear in the first lesson how Abraham responds to this man who's been waiting for promises to be fulfilled? Yeah, like for sure, really. How are you going to deliver when the only heir I have is something I took care of by adoption with Eliezer? I mean, I'm supposed to get a son. Did you see what God does? Same thing Jesus does in our gospel reading for today. It's just amazing. We sometimes need stories, examples, illustrations. We need to be able to see something, right? Something you can grasp, put your hands on. You know what I'm talking about. So there's this conversation going on where basically God and Abraham are talking, and Abraham says, you know, you're not delivering. And God says, let's take it outside. We're going to take this outside right now. And it's nighttime. And they get out there, and the sky is lit up. You know what kind of a night I'm talking about. You go outside, and it's so beautifully clear that it's like diamonds all over the place. And that's what the night was like. And God says, you see what's up there? And Abraham says, a bunch of stars. And God says, start counting. What? Start counting. We're going to do a little math. Are you crazy? I can't count all those stars. There's too many of them. Duh. That's exactly how many descendants you're going to have. You're not going to be able to count them. And here's the real surprise. Here's the real mystery that the Bible calls faith. Genesis 15, verse 6. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it as righteousness. Now, maybe that doesn't surprise you. I don't know. I know what surprises me, because if I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and I have to go to plan B, and my wife has to go to plan C, and God's not delivering, and God keeps telling me what he's going to do, and he simply takes me out there and shows me the stars, would you have believed? Not by your own reason or strength. You see, Luther figured that out in the 1500s when he was writing the Small Catechism, And he got to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. He says, if you're going to have faith, and God wants you to have faith, then it's not something you work for or earn. It's a gift, and it's a mystery. But in Jesus Christ, it is for you. Luther says, meaning to Article 3, Apostles' Creed, I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. In other words, you and I were lost causes. But the Holy Spirit, ooh, that got you going, didn't it? Remember a couple of weeks ago when Jesus says, when you pray, say, give me, Father, the Holy Spirit, right? It's just there for the asking. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified, and kept me in true faith. In the same way, in this Christian church, day after day, He fully forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, you're saying to me, Pastor Dave, from what I heard in Genesis 15, when Abraham believed the Lord and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness, that sounds like he had to do something to get that reward. That's why we have to keep reading the story. You know what comes immediately after verse 6? Ha, verse 7. Ha, that was an easy one, right? Yeah, you keep reading and you find out that what used to happen in the days of Abraham is that people would cut covenants. That was the way they made a contract. I mean, we might, you know, Don and I might sit down and write out a contract and you sign it and I sign it and this is what Don's going to do and this is what I'm going to do, right? But in those days, you cut a covenant. So here's what happened. You talk about a visual aid. You talk about an illustration. There is a heifer. There is a ram. There is a goat, and they are sliced in half, and half of the meat bloody mess is on this side of the path, and half of it, I mean, just like this center aisle here, right? Half of it's here, half of it's there of the heifer. Half of the goat, half of the goat. Half of the ram, half of the ram, and then the birds. And this is the way the cutting of a covenant worked. If I was making it with Don, Don and I would be walking right down here through that mess of carcasses, the bloody mess. And Don and I would be saying, if I don't uphold my side of the bargain, Don says, and if I don't uphold my side of the bargain, may I be sliced and diced right in half in a bloody mess. Right? I mean, we're basically, remember the old pinky thing? Make a pinky promise. Well, you don't keep that promise. You're supposed to lose your pinky. Or cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. This is serious stuff. You're talking about animals being sliced right in half, right? But here's what happens in Genesis 15. Just so that we know for sure that faith isn't something I gotta do, but it's a complete gift of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. This is what happens. Abraham falls asleep. Abraham falls asleep, and God is the only one who walks through that gauntlet. In other words, the promise is entirely, completely contingent upon your heavenly Father's faithfulness. And Abraham is sleeping through it all, which is what I love about infant baptism. Because sometimes they get fussy, and they kick and scream and say, you're not going to do this to me. You're not going to put me under. I don't want to die with Jesus. And then sometimes those little sneaky kids, those newborn infants, they sleep through the whole thing. And if we're fortunate and somebody records it or takes pictures, then as they grow up, you can say, no, it was done to you. I know, I was there. And every day I'm going to keep telling you that you are baptized, that you have been united with Jesus in His death and resurrection, that you got Jesus' clothes to put on, that you got Jesus' food to eat and drink. That's who you are. And if you forget, I'm going to keep telling you and telling you and telling you, because you were sleeping through the whole thing. Abraham had fallen asleep. See, this is what happens when we only read six verses and we don't see what comes before it or afterwards. We start to think that, well, I know how rewards work. The more I spend, you know, if you spend $50 at Target, I read in the ad that they're going to give you a $10 gift card. If you go to Penny's and you spend $50, they're going to give you $20 off. That's your reward. But to get it, you've got to do something. And so we think, oh, that must be how God works. We know how cutting a covenant works. But then all of a sudden we find out that it's not me and Don walking down the gauntlet. We're sleeping, and our Heavenly Father takes care of the whole thing. That's called grace. That's called grace. That we're saved by grace alone. Faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. This is the work of God, that you believe. The story is told of a little boy in a house, and the house is engulfed in flames. The father can't get to his son. The son is upstairs. The father says, go to the attic, climb out the window, get on the roof. And the boy does. There's no other way out. And he's up on the roof, and there's flames and smoke, and it's nighttime, and the fire department isn't there yet, and the father is outside, and he says, son, you've got to jump to me. Take a leap. And the boy is crying, and he says, I can't, I'm afraid. I can't see nothing. I can't see you, Dad. And the father says, you don't have to see me. I can see you. And that's all that matters. And the boy takes a leap and is caught by the strong arms of his father. Why did he take a leap? Was that his own hard work and effort? Give me a break. He had no choice. If he had stayed on the roof, he would have been burned to death. You see? This is the gospel, that God wants you to have a little faith. And so he's going to put faith in you by putting the Holy Spirit in you. Because with the Holy Spirit you get faith, and with faith you get Jesus, and with Jesus you get salvation and forgiveness and life everlasting through the resurrection of the body. You can't lose with Jesus. Now, faith is. Ralph Jacobson is an Old Testament professor at Luther Seminary. And this past week, a week ago, I was down there for a conference in the Twin Cities. Now, what you have to know about Ralph Jacobson is he's in a wheelchair all the time. He doesn't have legs anymore. You see, when he was 15 years old, he got cancer. He was diagnosed on a Sunday, brought down to Mayo Clinic here in Rochester, and on Wednesday they took off one of his legs right up here by the groin. And before he graduated from high school, they had amputated more, and he didn't have either leg there. Ralph Jacobson said, when I was in the hospital in Rochester, recovering, and wondering why me and all this hopelessness, I had my favorite teacher from high school come and visit me. He was a German teacher. He taught German. He said, my older brother, older sister, they took German with him too. We loved him. He was our favorite teacher. And when you were a senior in high school, you got to go over, if you'd been 4 years of German in high school, you got to go over to Germany. But Rolf said, that dream was over for me. But my German teacher, he comes, he visits me, and he's got a gift. An REI Velcro billfold. Ralph said, I opened that billfold, and it had all these little compartments and pockets. And every single little compartment and pocket had a little note in it. One of the notes said, this pocket is for the key to your hotel when we go over to Germany. This pocket has some German currency in it that you can spend when we go over to Germany. all of those pockets had messages, and Rolf said, they were hope and they were encouragement for me. In my fear, in my worry, in my anxiousness, in my despair and unbelief. And then Rolf said, he pulls the wallet out, he said, that was 35 years ago. He said, someday this wallet is going to wear out. But you know what won't wear out? He said, when I was a senior in high school and I thought, I'm not going to Germany like this, all of my classmates said, you're going with us because you're part of us. You're part of this class. We go together. And I had my billfold and all those notes of encouragement and hope, and I went. And it was the time of my life. And 35 years later, I still have this billfold. Do you know what Jesus is saying in our gospel for tonight? Get yourself purses that won't grow old and wear out. He said the real gift is the love of the giver. That's what it is. The real gift is the love of the giver that lasts forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now faith is. Or if you remember that story of O. Henry, the gift of the Magi, you got Della and Jim, a young couple that don't have much. They're just kind of eking out a living. But her treasure is her long hair down to her knees. And his treasure is his gold pocket watch that was his father's and his grandfather's. And it's the day before Christmas. And Della only has $1.87. And the next day they're going to exchange presents. And on Christmas Day, they exchange gifts. And you know what happens? Della has a chain for her husband's gold watch. Over $20. How did she get the money? And her husband has some ivory combs for her beautiful hair. How did he get the money? You know. She cut her hair. And he sold his watch. And we hear the story and we go, oh no, that's so sad. How sad, how terrible. But faith recognizes the gift of love and sacrifice. The gift of love and sacrifice. And that's what lasts. So what is it that fearless, faith-filled followers of Jesus without worry do? Did you hear what Jesus said in our gospel for tonight? Probably knocked your socks off, didn't it? He says, here's what people with little faith do. And all you need is faith like the grain of a mustard seed. People that got faith in Jesus, this is what they do. They seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else is provided. Jesus says, sell your possessions. Give alms to those who are in need. Buy yourself purses that aren't going to grow old. And get yourself a real treasure. The kind that's in heaven, where the thieves can't steal and the moths can't destroy. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now faith is. Dear friends in Christ, when it gets dark, go outside on a clear night and start counting the stars. Or when you see one of those nasty crows downtown, or a raven, remember the birds. Or when you've got the bouquet of flowers in your hands, Consider the lilies. Life is more than the food you eat. Life is more than the clothes you wear. Life is God's reward given for you in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he gives you his Holy Spirit so that you can live by faith. Walk in faith and be faithful as you love one another. The ravens, the rewards. The lilies and the shield. I am your shield, says the Lord. I am your shield, says the Lord. I am your shield, says the Lord. Your reward is great, very great. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.